Galatians, the first chapter, but I saw none of the other apostles except James, the brother of the Lord. St. Paul said he had to decrease and Christ increase, but it did not work out that way. Both conservative and liberal scholars are more likely to attribute our form of Christianity to Paul rather than to Jesus. Sadly, in the church's collective memory, James decreased into near oblivion. He may have been autobiographical when he wrote, "What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes." Some confused him with James, the son of Alphaeus, and so two James became one. And lost in the faulty equation was James, the son of Mary and Joseph, the oldest of the three younger brothers of Jesus. He was not one of the 12, but at the council which solved the problem of the place of Gentiles in the church, James had the final word. What Paul preached about Christ and resurrection was derived from the Jerusalem church, where James was bishop. He said so himself, "For I delivered to you of first importance what I also received." This was also true of what Paul taught about the Lord's Supper. There are many apostles, but the one doctrine came from the city where Jesus died for sins and rose again. And James was the standard of the church's Catholicity and orthodoxy. James was respected even among the Jewish opponents. Murder is an effective way of turning envy into action. It also creates martyrs. This happened to his brother about 30 years before, but stoning is preferable to crucifixion. A few centuries later, some Christians thought that celibacy was superior to marriage. And to assure that the mother of Jesus had this newly acquired virtue, she became Semper Virgo. But this honorary title was soon taken seriously. Joseph was no longer her real husband in the sense of Genesis 2, that a man and a woman become one flesh. She had really married an elderly widower, and her sons and daughters became Jesus' stepbrothers and sisters, or maybe his cousins. No one ever got it straight who they were: James, Joseph, Simon, and Jude. But they were no longer Mary's real children. And so Jeremiah may have spoken of her when he said, "Rachel was weeping for her children because they were not." Even in Paul's heated defense of his apostleship, he deferred to James as the brother of the Lord. But this title also had become honorific. James had become the victim of a shell game. Put your dollar under one cup, and if you find it, you win $5. You pick up all the cups, and none has your dollar. So the church erased from its memory the man who held the church together during its first controversy. But examples of this kind of thing can be found in recent memories. There arose a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. Recently, James enjoyed a momentary resurrection to historical memory on the side of a recently discovered ossuary with the words, "James, the son of Joseph, the brother of Jesus." This fits the biblical data perfectly, but impartial Israeli authorities declared it a fraud and locked the bone box in a back room. In spite of being manhandled by the pious and the less so, James is bigger than life in the Gospels and the Epistles. We know the names of his mother, his father, his grandfather, and four brothers, including Jesus. He traveled with Jesus, but was not convinced about his brother's preaching. But few people who heard Jesus were convinced. Things haven't changed as much. Jesus said as much. Those who do the will of his Father are his real brothers and sisters and even his mother. James was at Cana of Galilee and at least had an introductory course on the sacraments when Jesus manifested glory in changing water into wine. His epistle is written in elegant Greek, and his rhetoric is unmatched. What he wrote sounded a lot like the Sermon on the Mount. Even if he did not believe it when he heard it, he remembered it, and then he believed. So Jesus was right in saying, at least in Mark, that after the farmer plants the seed, he should go to sleep and forget about it. The Word of God has its own generating power. There are no surefire programs and methods to make Christians. Evangelistic magic bullets are as elusive as Lancelot's Holy Grail. The mother of James was at the crucifixion, but like the disciples and others, James may have found a secure place to watch the gruesome event. Paul probably told us that Jesus appeared to James and made him an apostle because both of them were not apostles of the first rank. After the ascension, James was with his mother Mary, waiting for Christ to give the promised Holy Spirit. Church growth principles, of which I do not know that much, speak of, I believe, two kinds of ministries, ranch ministries and maintenance ministries. Paul had a ranch ministry. He traveled the world, so he says, I have been on frequent journeys. James had a maintenance ministry. Long after Peter and the other apostles left Jerusalem and the financial center of the church had shifted first to Antioch and eventually to Rome, James stayed behind with a dwindling congregation which was so poor that to meet its budget, Paul had to raise funds in Corinth and Rome. Christians in those churches had the material blessings, but Jerusalem had been entrusted by Jesus with the faith. They were in debt to Jerusalem. They owed them something. We are not a collection of autonomous congregations, but we are one Catholic church. Walter, Seeler, and Winneken, who came to America to round up stray Germans into large Lutheran churches. There's another person, the founder of our seminary, Wilhelm Lea, stayed behind in Bavaria and, for the sake of the gospel, faced the wrath and fury of government officials. One ministry is not before or after another. Statistics count, but at times perseverance in the gospel counts even more. Perhaps this sermon has been an apology for the life of James, but given the attention which has been shown to others, the time has come to balance the books and even the score. Several years ago in New Hampshire, I chanced upon a marvelous old book from the 18th century, which listed the important events for each calendar day. It was called the Book of Days. Among the persons and events listed under October 23 was James, the Bishop of Jerusalem, the real brother of Jesus. Some Englishmen really believed that this James was a person in his own right. No longer did I feel alone. My heart leapt for joy. A second joy overcame me when the chapel staff also discovered him. This is a first. This was not James, the son of Zebedee, the brother of John, or the son of Alphaeus, but the brother of Jesus. James may disappear again, but at least he has appeared on the horizon for a brief moment. Perhaps James knew about his fate and may have wished it for himself. For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. We engrave our names in granite and carve them in chairs and impose them on the printed page, but we are soon forgotten. James knew the only name that matters was the honorable name, the name by which the gospel was preached and the sick were anointed. Because Christ valued our names more than he honored his own name, God raised him from the dead. Paul said he had to decrease and Christ increase. James said it better. We are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. James had another word. Hold to the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. Understand these two words, and you will know what the religion of Jesus is all about.